This is Global Voices Radio.
Yes, Paul Nelson.
Poet Diane DePrima said, "The only war that matters is the war against the imagination." A recent guest on this program told us about the trend of children who have brains so addled by screen entertainment they cannot develop their own imagery and mistake imagination for pictures supplied by the industry-generated culture. How do we not only maintain the ability that is imagination, but mine our own imagery for guideposts on our journey to become more conscious beings? Jerry Wenstrom and Marilyn Strong are two artists who've given a lot of thought to these matters. Jerry says imagery is critical in the effort to evolve oneself.
Imagery and symbol is our birthright. To sell it out to the images of commercialism or TV or what it is we think we're supposed to be is to lose touch with that. The gods speak in a language that we can understand.
How do we begin to understand that imagery? Marilyn Strong says Carl Jung recognized that the most powerful imagery for people of European descent came from alchemy.
I think that's why Jung was so intrigued by it, because these folks were exploring territory and supposedly they were working with materials on the outside. But what he recognized, and what many of the best alchemists recognize, that they also had to have the process going on inside oneself.
Meaning alchemy was as much an inner process as it was the effort to turn lead into gold. Jerry Wenstrom and Marilyn Strong are co-facilitating a workshop entitled The Union of Opposites, Exploring the Sacred Marriage Within. And today we hear about the workshop, about alchemy, and how this aids the effort to foster the process of one's evolution.
This is Global Voices Radio.
In the 60s, the duality was either you're part of the problem or part of the solution. In 2003, it was either you're with us or against us, on the side of good or evil. Well, that's not much of a choice for most people, and Carl Jung would agree. For anyone seeking to deepen their experience of life, Jung would suggest that once an individual is able to acknowledge one's own evil, they then become a carrier of opposites, and in doing so, deepen their own consciousness and act as catalyst for others to do the same. That's part of the wisdom behind a 5-day summer intensive workshop on Whidbey Island, Washington, facilitated by Jerry Wenstrom and Marilyn Strong, entitled The Union of Opposites, Exploring the Sacred Marriage Within. Jerry is a previous guest of this show, an artist who, as a rising star in the New York art world, experienced a psychic death by destroying his art, giving away his possessions, and living on grace for the next 10 years. His partner, Marilyn Strong, holds a BA in religion and adult education, a master's in spirituality and culture, is interested in Jungian dream analysis and alchemy, and has a new CD entitled Songs for Sophia. Boy, it's great to get you both in studio and have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, well, speaking of opposites, why don't you start by telling us how you two got together?
Well, I met Jerry in the summer of 1987, I believe, when I was going through a major transition in my own life. My life seemed to be falling apart on several levels. My husband had left me my community that I'd been a part of and on staff, the Chinook Learning Center, for about 12 years, was going through a major transition as well. And the community disbanded that summer, and I needed to start looking for a job fairly soon after that. So on many levels, my life was falling apart. So when I connected with Jerry, it was very helpful to me to meet someone who had metaphorically walked into his own death 10 years before and had lived to tell the tale. And he certainly was helpful to me as a friend for many years, helping me to heal from the many mini deaths that I was experiencing, and taught me how to trust the process. And our relationship, friendship developed into a relationship over the years, and we married about 8 years later.
And you had moved to Whidbey Island, of all places, from New York after going through your experience there. And I think I gave the gist of it in my intro.
Yes, yes. And in a lot of ways, meeting Marilyn in the kind of space we held as both coming to it. I mean, I was coming at it 12 years of celibacy, and she was clear that, or feeling I was not going in the direction of relationship. And Marilyn, coming out of a painful divorce, wasn't interested. And there was something about the way we were both able to hold the unknowing that allowed, neither of us wanted anything. We were just there in the way we were with each other, with other people and with each other. And there was something about holding that space that allowed for the relationship to emerge.
You talk about holding that unknowing. That seems to me related to what's the gist of this whole workshop, this notion of opposites, or, you know, two sides are warring and you don't relate to either one of them. You can see both sides in some sense. You see the connection in that?
Yes. I mean, that's a big part of what we're all being asked to do. I mean, at a time when there's such uncertainty, we all have a tendency to go for some basic right or wrong, good or evil. And, you know, that kind of fundamentalist thinking is exactly what we're in right now. I mean, it's a time when the polarities are really defining themselves in the world and for ourselves. When we're unsure of ourselves, we dig in, we hold on to something, whether it's right or wrong, we just want it to be absolute. And so to be able to hold the opposites is like to hold reality like a prayer. It's when we don't know, we can ask. And there's something about the humble position of asking that allows for something larger than the two poles to come into play, which is often the kind of magic in our lives. If you think about it, the place where we have ideas about what we think we're doing, what we think we want, it's often the unknowing that will bring a third possibility that we didn't think of.
That's interesting. You know, I've done a little bit of study of chaos theory and don't consider myself really great at science, but that notion of strange attractors, those two things that serve as a polarity, and from that, you begin to see how that new system is formed and how the order comes out of that chaos. You're nodding your head.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a wonderful time right now because the new science is sort of proving what the mystics have known for hundreds of years. And it's sort of there. Everything seems to be converging right now to helping us understand what the nature of reality is and how to find our way in and through it. I believe, you know, that the new science is sort of demonstrating what Jung and the alchemists were talking about way back then.
Tell us about this workshop. Well, how did you decide to throw a little party on Whidbey Island?
Well, I have a background in Native American. I've studied with Native Americans and sweat lodges, learned the medicine wheel, and also the Wiccan tradition, studied with Starhawk down at ICCS, at Matthew Fox's Institute, and was really working with that whole integration with the earth and understanding our connection to the earth, and taught that for many years. And as I started exploring the whole notion of alchemy and this notion of the union of opposites, I began to remember the medicine wheel and the ritual and ceremony that I've done in relation to that. And I began to feel like, you know, we could create through this five-day process, create a container for people to explore experientially and bodily sort of the connection, the working of the integration of the opposites. One of the things that we'll do in our five-day intensive, it'll sort of the culmination, will be a long dance, which was taught to me by Elizabeth Cogburn, who's someone who studied a lot of the Native traditions and then began with a group down in the Southwest exploring ceremonial for white people, sort of taking some of the wisdom of the long dances and creating them for, you know, sort of bridge building between the cultures. And this particular format is one where you create a medicine wheel on the dance floor. You have altars to the four directions and a center pole in the middle. And so part of the long dance is learning to walk the poles from the south to the north, from the body and the physical passion to the north, which is the spirit and inspiration. And then the east and west, which is emotion on the west, versus intellect on the east, and you walk these poles. So you're not only working on integrating them inside oneself, but you're walking physically, going back and forth. And so there's something very powerful that happens. And so I started seeing that this format could be a wonderful way to work with the whole notion of alchemy and building that coming together, that sacred marriage, the coming together of the opposites.
And you mentioned the word container, which is very interesting, because when you start talking about psychic death, you know, it's not the big D death, so, you know, hopefully no one dies, but still a very scary thing for people. So briefly, can you tell us about that notion of a container and making it safe for people to potentially experience that?
Yeah, well, very often physical death is actually seems like an easier alternative than metaphoric death. That's why so many people commit suicide. I mean, the difficult place when we feel all of life has failed at some level, you know, dealing with that is it can be terrifying and is for all of us. And in some way, I feel we're all asked to do the scariest thing that we could imagine very often, and that's often the place of transformation. So I think having done it ourselves, you know, maybe by choice, maybe not by choice, I feel that is the best of all containers, is to know that, you know, if all is lost, instead of saying, oh, poor boy, you know, you're losing it all, to actually say, be able to say, congratulations, you know, this is the beginning of real transformation, and to be able to hold the space for that in the midst of someone else's terror with a kind of knowing and confidence, I think there's no way to be able to hold that space if you have not been in it yourselves.
And I must say, you're very good at that, that support. I've experienced it myself. There's a story about Jung. Someone went into his office and said, you know, I just got a promotion. And he says, well, don't worry, you'll get over it soon. And another guy goes in and says, I just got fired. And he opens up the champagne and says, something new is about to enter your life. So interesting, looking at the developments in a different way.
I'd like to answer that just a little bit further in terms of containment. What I learned about ritual and ceremony from my teachers in the Native American tradition and the Wiccan tradition is really to call in spirit, to call in the directions, to create. What you are doing there is creating a container. So in a sense, through ritual and ceremony, you're creating a container larger than perhaps you and your analyst in the conventional way, where it's one-on-one, but you are creating a similar container, and then you go into that process and you know, you're with more than yourself and your analyst, but it's the same kind of containment and support, and very consciously creating that, building it, you know, having the experience and then coming out of it in a conscious way.
And the intent, very critical.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Talking with Jerry Wenstrom and Marilyn Strong, they're co-facilitators of The Union of the Opposites, in Exploring the Sacred Marriage Within. It's a 5-day summer intensive on Whidbey Island, happening in August. More information at handsofalchemy.com. I'm Paul Nelson. Jung also believed that we had to go back as far as we could to when symbolism went unimpeded, and he found that era to be one where alchemy was thriving. We had a guest on the show recently, a media literacy activist, telling stories about how children who watch too much television from a very early age have an inability to generate their own images, and how that becomes a recipe for alienation, psychopathic behavior, the Columbine incident, and what have you. Can you speak to that importance of imagery? We're seeing how it's necessary for healthy children, but, you know, when you're starting with adults who are reasonably healthy, then the process can lead to an even deeper experience with life. Is that accurate?
Yes, I feel imagery and symbol is our birthright. It comes with being human, a human being on the planet. I think alchemy came out of that, but it's very simply a part of who we are. To lose touch with that and to sell it out to the images of commercialism or TV or you know what it is we think we're supposed to be is to lose touch with that. So I think it is important to know it's available to all of us, and we don't necessarily have to go to the books or even have to go to alchemy for that, although alchemy is a great template for some of the archetypal imagery that has come through other people, but it's also, you know, it's our own, and we can make it our own. And I think there's a great saying that goes, the gods speak in a language that we can understand. So I think the process of listening and to open our receptors and to disengage from the screaming world of television and the things that we often just are bombarded with, and to go more inward and allow the imagery to come through, I think we all have that possibility. And that's the stuff we're working with on this in this workshop, to make it real, to give it importance, and to create something together where we can actually let something emerge that none of us know exactly how it will emerge. And that's part of the mystery and part of the magic.
And I'm guessing that the dream imagery, obviously, that's where this comes in. Why don't you speak to that?
Yes, I was going to say one of the great avenues for getting in touch with your own images is to begin to remember your dreams. And we do a lot of dream group. We've led a lot of dream groups. And perhaps this 5-day intensive will be a chance to bring one of those images through. And we will be creating a mask as part of the process. And as a way to bring some of those images into a physical representation, onto something that looks very much like your own face, because we'll be using body cast material. And it's very powerful to see your own face and then to be painting or creating these images on the masks themselves. And perhaps, you know, the mask will be a place where one can work with whatever opposites are up right now in your own life, whatever challenges you are experiencing. And you can either, you know, paint the mask as representing both of the opposites or as an integration.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been to your place a couple of times, and so I have this picture in my mind of the bunk beds and the sort of, it's like a hostel kind of, and that's H-O-S-T-E-L, a kind of environment. Hostel, not hostile, but a hostile environment. And I'm getting this image of people being there, and that being a setting, being on Whidbey Island and away from a lot of machines and traffic and people, being a place that would facilitate dreaming by participants.
Mm. Yeah, we hope so.
Well, and people say as much who stay there. They say they have great dreams. And I mean, we can't do much about that, but I do think that in the artwork and this, you know, the large space that we created, I think it all does support the work.
Yeah. I was reading this book that you base a lot of the work on, The Mystery of the Conjunctio, Alchemical Image of Individuation by Edward Edinger, who is a Jungian scholar, and this is published by a company that specializes in Jungian psychology and analysis. I had wonderful dreams and great recall this morning, so maybe that's a hint. But one of the things that they're talking about is that ability to acknowledge one's own evil, critical to the next step in becoming more individuated, which is another Jungian term. Maybe you can speak to individuation, what that means, because it was mentioned in the subtitle, and about that ability to recognize, you know, whatever bad person out there, if you get a strong reaction, that's a little clue that, hey, there's something unresolved in you, a clue as to what your shadow is.
Take it.
Well, I mean, it's what the thing. First thing that comes to mind is I'm creating this art piece as a gift for a kind of New Age center in New Jersey, and they're very idealistic. And so I just, you know, it was a gift, and I wanted them to be pleased with it. So I made this life-size angel with lots of mechanical moving parts. It has wings that flap. And in the making it was all so pleasant, it started to bug me. And so I finally decided to add horns. So now the angel has horns that come up and emerge unexpectedly and then return back. And I think ultimately there's a great saying Yogananda says, which is, goodness is the final obstacle to God. And I think getting caught up in good and evil, I think we're not holding the unknowing. And so, you know, it's that place in between that we have to learn to be comfortable with, to be able to hold the two. It doesn't mean if we're not good, it doesn't mean we're evil. It means we don't know. We don't know what's good. I mean, think of the things we've done in our lives where we thought we were doing good and they ended up disastrous, or we thought we did something just because we felt it right and we thought, you know, and we thought it would, in our mind, it would be the wrong thing to do, and it ends up being the most beautiful thing to do. It's just the nature of unknowing.
And I'm reminded of, I think, the poet Rilke, who said, I think he was concerned about going into analysis because he didn't want to lose his devils, because he also felt that he would lose his angels as well. So he's someone who really embodied that, holding both the good and the bad and recognizing that. I think that's really essential work right now, and I think that's why we're doing this intensive, not only to acknowledge our own evil, I mean, especially in a time when so much evil is being projected outward, and we're sort of caught in a war right now where there's evil being projected on both sides. I thought, well, what can we do? And part of the work is not only doing my own work, but maybe helping to create a container for others to work on that inner work as well, when we can explore the ideas and the fears and concerns we have around that, and, you know, how it all works. One of the things I wanted to say is that Jerry's story, right before he destroyed his work back in the late 70s, you see his artwork, and we have a video called In the Hands of Alchemy that shows some of his older work before it was destroyed. And you see in that work, he was really working on opposites. In fact, one whole segment was working on angels and demons, where there were demons on one side, you turn over, it's angels on the other side. And I really felt like he was exploring that, even though he hadn't yet read Jung, but he was definitely exploring the integration of the opposites. And in the alchemical process, when the union happens, death is immediate afterwards. The metaphorical death or the ego death comes after that integration. And I think that Jerry's life sort of, and his life story sort of embodies that coming together.
And yet you didn't finish the story about the sculpture for the New Age Center in New Jersey. Did they ever get it? Or?
Well, I'm still working on it.
So when they get a load of those horns, there's going to be trouble.
Well, they're a surprise. They pop up unexpectedly.
Oh, boy. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when that happens. You mentioned that reacting to all the evil in the world. You know, I have friends on both sides of the whole war issue, and the notion for friends who are on the anti-war side, or the peace side, as I would like to call it, you can see people get very angry about the policies and about the amount of resources that are going to this, and then cuts to social programs to fund this kind of thing, and the anger can just get up and rise and overtake you. And I think at that point you're lost. You're no good to anyone if you get stuck in that anger, unless you can channel that anger into something positive. The teaching in the book, and Jung's teaching, is that when we identify with one side of the warring opposites, we lose an opportunity to be a carrier of opposites and an opportunity for an individuation or a deeper experience with life. Can you speak to that part, Marilyn?
Yes. Well, you were wondering if we could define individuation. I think that's the word that Jung came up with to describe the work of becoming conscious, of, you know, working, integrating one's own unconscious and becoming more and more conscious. It really is a description of one's own evolution as a person and personal growth. What was your question?
Well, this notion of identifying with one side, the good side or the evil side, we cast our lot with the allies or the folks fighting the war on terrorism, and we're blowing an opportunity to be a carrier of the opposites, which is what
yes.
is one of the things you're talking about, the union of the opposites. We miss the opportunity when we strongly identify with one side.
Yes.
And there's also nothing wrong with learning to fine-tune your intuitive sensibility and know what's beautiful and what is not beautiful. And I think we all have a sense of that in our own hearts and in our own totality. And there's nothing wrong with feeling something is inherently wrong in the behavior of our country, of ourselves, of our loved ones, whatever it is, and to be able to take a stand at times. As I think, you know, as long as you don't sort of write it in stone and you think you're the one who is so knowing, there are times when we absolutely have to take a stand, and it's based on a sense of beauty, and we have to all do that sometimes.
Interesting, Arun Gandhi being on the show and suggesting that we have to be careful about being possessors of the truth, but yet have a pursuit of the truth, a very important distinction.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I think I'll just add a little bit more to that. I think it's when we get hooked by someone else, like, you know, perhaps George Bush, which is somebody that really hooks me. I have to work on understanding that he is a part of the whole truth. He has his own truth, and he represents something in myself that I may not like. And so he's a good teacher for me in many ways. So as long as one is working on that inner integration and the whole notion of holding the containment inside oneself as though when you were an alchemical vessel.
Yeah. The notion of hooking is something we hopefully will get more into. We're out of time for this segment. Talking with Jerry Wenstrom and Marilyn Strong, co-facilitators of the Union of the Opposites, exploring the Sacred Marriage Within. It's a 5-day seminar scheduled for August 4th through the 9th of 2004 on Whidbey Island, just north of Puget Sound. It's going to be an amazing event, and more information is available at handsofalchemy.com, and you'll find a link on our website.